생각이.
In terms of the main concerns raised during the portfolio committee hearing, I think the most prominent one was the winding up of Sandy Park. We feel as a department that the concerns of both the committee and the public were this, in terms of the changed wording that we have, which I'll go through later. The second major issue that arose there was related errors in the schedule. Which we suggested that we could correct at a later stage by noticing the project as a process. The schedule that we transfer in currently is approximately 3 years old, and there's certain additional declarations that haven't really been included, so it's not errors per se. Then the third issue that arose there was Section 47 and the use of aircraft over our national parks, World Heritage Sites, and special nature reserves. We saying that no amendment is necessary in this particular instance. The concerns raised during the public consultation process related to the power of Sand Park, and we suggested further amendments in that regard. Another concern relates to mining in protected areas, which is not really the subject of our current amendment, and we feel adequately dealt with in the Act. Then there's certain additional issues here in relation to the long title. For example, we were asking for a small amendment there. We previously referred to it as the National Environment Management Act, which should in fact be the National Environmental Management Act. There is a reference to special national parks, which is incorrect. Should actually be special nature reserve, and the reference to heritage sites must be to world heritage sites. The one major additional thing that came out here is that we are requesting the committee to consider whether this bill, when it becomes an act, should not become an act on date fixed by the president, but instead should be fixed by the minister. Pragmatic purposes, shall we say. In terms of processing, we were advised by the state law advisors that this can be done. We can amend them for it. But it's just something that we're asking the committee to consider. And then there's also a consequence in the amendment of Section 381A. Then I'll take the committee through the comments that we've received. There's two documents that we presented this morning. The one, the very colorful one, the yellow, green, sort of beige, purple, and blue. And the second document is the comments received on this particular poll. That's the document I'm going to be giving us now. In terms of the comments, the City of Cape Town made some comments in relation to the bill, and they alluded to errors in the schedule for the bill. The schedule, we admit, is not complete. We're currently reviewing it, and we will amend that schedule by noticing it today. They supported our amendment of Section 38. In relation to Section 47.2 and sub 3A, they said that there should be checks and balances. We think that this is supposed to be done through the flight plan, which is provided for in Section 3BA, sub B, sub 3. Then they also commented on Section 55, which they also said need certain checks and balances. And what we're saying in that regard is that those checks and balances are provided in Section 43 of the Act. Then there was a comment by E.M. Bender, also in relation to Section 47. And basically he's saying that, an environmental impact assessment should be undertaken and flight corridors should be set at a minimum of 7,000 feet. above ground level. If the student conservation area should be licensed, and flights must be subject to submission of a flight plan, as well as reasonable traffic in the areas, special rule area, space should be according to these areas under the jurisdiction of the ATC. The management plan is, our comment is that the management plan of these areas is subject to the minister's approval, and the corridors will be established in terms of that plan. The Civil Aviation Authority is already updating the general site restriction that we have in the area of 2,500 feet above the park's highest point. So the corridors will be below that figure, and we do, however, support the fact that compulsory flight plans and licensing of airports should be done. Okay, Mr. Andrew Wardle also commented in terms of section 54, which relates to winding up. We deal with that fairly comprehensively. We say that the minimum is required to comply with the Income Tax Act, and we refer to the clause that we've added in that regard. If you look on page 1 and page 2, Chair, those are the proposed amendments that we suggest here. Very similar to what we discussed yesterday, I don't know if you want to go through it in detail. It essentially covers the requirement of transfer to the Schedule 3 public entity, as well as income tax provision. And then the second amendment really is that it may not be wound up except by or in terms of an act of parliament, which is also a concern that we've raised. Animal rights advocate also raised the issue around the winding up, which we think we sufficiently addressed in terms of that amendment. Basically in terms of animal rights applications, we've covered all the proposed suggestions in this regard. Kate Nature was another party that commented on the vote. They said in terms of section 28 of the Act, there must be a compulsory process to deal with landowners. We agree, and what we can read in the text similarly with section 38. And then they also talk about section 47. Relating to the reason for conservation that may lead to civil action in case of negligence. Our stance is that the law clearly will apply. Mr. Kali Rasmus supported the bill. Then there's Liam Mulburn, who also expressed concern regarding fixing the people and winding up the sandbox, which we think we've dealt with. Chair, in terms of other comments received,
could we have comments on this procedural format and your comments on this? The third question is in
language. Yes, Chair, those are the additional comments we received over and above the ones that we received in the public hearing.
It's some comments in the people from us or from
Okay. So it was Stan Park,
but it was not from the public then.
No.
I thought it was from
the but if you recall, you said that we include all the comments.
No, but
the latest complaints.
No, but Morgan.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the substantial amendments, I'm very happy. With regard to the dissolution, I'd be quite keen to have more discussion, though, on the on section 47, which deals with flying over national parks. Having reviewed now, I've looked at things with great interest. And one of the things that comments he makes there about the climate and environmental impact assessment over national parks is something that I believe is necessary in this case. At the moment, I mean, you have to have approval for flight plans, and you can get written permission from authorities. But in many respects, I think there's too much discretion that we are giving Sandy Park with regard to flying over national parks. So, in theory, it has to be the case that different parks have different raptors flying above those parks. I would argue that a raptor hit on a small unpressurized cabin could be catastrophic. I realize that always the risk of cabin. No, not only the risk of the light aircraft, but the risk, of course, to raptors. There has to be a fair amount of discretion. I allow that. I mean, I accept that from the point of view of park authority. But I also believe that the incumbents to restrict their hands somewhat by saying that each national park should actually conduct an impact assessment for that particular park with regard to flying over it. That's my first comment. Secondly, I understand that the Civil Aviation Authority, they are really upset about the 2,500 meter mark. You said in your comments that the flight corridor would be below that anyway. I think you seem to imply that. Just from the point of view of clarity, are they referring to the type of aeroplane that would take off on one side of the park and fly to the other side of the park? With regard to not being able to reach a higher altitude, or is this in reality some kind of, from 2,500 feet, the passengers can also enjoy the scenery along the way. But my substantial point really is on the impact assessment, and I do think we should try Sandy Park and some extent. Thereafter, of course, written permission, but it's written permission within the context of already a pre-agreed and predictable assessment of what is permissible over any particular park or not.
Take myself in comment from one article there about the AIB, but of course one group that you're not going to be able to have some flight, but in general society, that's the one of the AIB that are there. So we know that example AIB, this part can absorb the amount of transport to the region, etc. I think I'll have a comment on that. Can I take another comment? Okay, I'll come with you. Then the other point I was trying to talk is Ben mentioned also that the flight plan involved evacuation of search and rescue services. I would like to hear a comment on that. And also, he said that first special group area should run up to the ATC Allah is a very controlled officer. I think he is. He talks about any kind of human response, any kind of human response in an Arabic conversation, kind of must grab it, take out the root area. Take out, they must form an Arabic constitution because it is the Arabic control of the area. And the common is also a spiritual world as well.
On the issue of the flight, in that change of in the community, not us. I'm looking at this when we went to I don't know whether this
in relation to assume that when the management authorities look at determining a flight corridor, those are precisely the things that they take into account in terms of the vulnerability of parks and so forth. So I would think that that would be sufficient in terms of covering the concern that the EIA is required in that particular instance. In relation to the licensing issues, I'm not too familiar with that, but I know that the Civil Aviation Act would certainly have provisions with regard to the period of time that is licensed and the history and that kind of thing, but unfortunately I can't give a response on that right now. In terms of the serious issues related to the search and rescue flight plan, I'm sure in terms of practicality, the park authorities would take all those issues into account in terms of accessibility and removing people from the park in case of emergency and so forth. I'll ask you to comment on a special group area. In terms of types of aircraft, I would have to ask Jeff to comment on that. And then I know the consensus of the pull-outs required for the emergency in terms of section 54.
Good.
Thank you, not really the expert on the civil aviation, but to put it into the context of this legislation, the height restriction is 2,500 feet above the highest point in that trunk. That goes right up from the highest point to the economic leader somewhere in the bomber mountains, but that's always across the increase the ocean area, which is quite a green effect here in the world here inside. With that, the restriction is for all aircraft, whether they're helicopters, hovercraft, jets, whatever. But at the same time, section 47.4 allows for these sections do not apply to an emergency, so obviously you can go to that, but just that night. And just basically acting on the instructions of the management authority. So in other words, if the management authority is now implementing an air census of the wildlife, that'll be fine, much better than that, but that will be a control thing, it will be under the direct instructions. I think it covered the issue of the EIA. I agree with the principle of the EIA, and I think we do need those restrictions because the management of the focus doesn't really have corridors all over the place. I believe the management plan, in terms of the Act, the Minister says that if we set those flight corridors in terms of that management plan, it will have an effect. The consent, and we can do that as a minister to give those directions. There has to be a proper assessment of any truck coverage before sending the management plan and produce evidence in that management plan. Thank you. Yes, so then we will be obviously in that whole process, so we will obviously have to be dealing directly and in close contact with Aviation Authority, who does the whole thing on my team. I take some of the points, some of those issues are effectively cut glass and some of these curves, and some people find it quite funny. The first and rescue service again, that is dealt with the management authority, and they do have a relationship with the civil aviation and the military. For instance, in the drafting circuit, the military does most of the search and rescue that's up in the mountains for people that are just lost. to provide corridors in which the trust head will be being filed with the person. Am I correct in assuming that you will look at the EIA and put in the establishment of the trust? Is that right?
It will start from the indication of all of us. If you look at what kind of volume those courses are contained, I think it's a very important point. I think it's a very important point. We move on then to the other three managers.
Thank you, Tim. Here the comments in this section of the document you will receive from section 10.5, and once again they deal with section 47, which relates to the flight corridors. They on page 2-3 up to the top of page 5 give a comprehensive restatement of what we think is already in the discussion. We've noted it, but we don't think it requires the amendment that they're suggesting. Then the second comment on page 5 here relates to section 4 of the NEMPA. As Jella indicated earlier, we're not proposing to amend this particular section. It's quite a comprehensive section that needs to be amended, and I think we need extensive consultation around that. We do have a section in the Act that deals with the but they're proposing changes to that. We just think that for the sound, it shouldn't be taken into consideration. Those comments extend all the way to page 9. Then the next comment is in relation to section 54, and relating specifically to the tax exemption status, which we've dealt with in the earlier comments, as well as winding up. Then here on page 9, right at the bottom, they're looking at section 55 and 10 parts mandate. They made comments in that regard also, which extend all the way down to page 12. Our comment in that regard is that we support what they're saying. The Act as it stands doesn't make provision for the power of SANPARC in terms of management of marine protected areas, world heritage sites, forest nature reserves, forest wilderness areas, or the assignment of these powers to them. And we need to make specific provision in the Act for the additional powers for SANPARC. And in terms of that, we recommend check on page 10 in the highlighted section. You'll see there under sub A is saying manage, and insertion of all existing national parks. We take out other protected areas and replace it with any protected area listed in section 9 of the Act. So as to allow a more comprehensive range for them to manage. Then low down on the paragraph C, we think South Africa National Park may be managing national parks or other protected areas assigned to it by the minister, which is once again expanding the scope. Similarly, in under subsection D, we refer to set protected areas assigned once again. And in subsection 2 similarly. So in terms of SANPARC's comments in relation to that particular aspect, we agree with their comments, and we've amended accordingly. Then here I go to page 12 with other comments. They make reference to Okay, then I think it might just be useful for us to go through the color document just to see what the impact of the amendments are in relation to what was proposed to the committee initially. Chair, you see the yellow and the green is what we've done at the previous hearing. The red or purplish color is current recommended deletion, which I don't think they are in this document. And then the sort of bluish color would be recommended insertion. I've referred already to the fact that we're correcting environment and making it environmental on page 1 of that document. Then the reference to special national parks, changing that to special nature reserve. And also the reference to heritage sites, which we would like to change to World Heritage Sites. There's no major amendment from the previous version on pages 2, 3, 4. And the next major amendment is on page 5, which relates to the winding up issue. And the blue section is what we discussed earlier there. We'll have to include the issues around bringing to the full house and see how we can actually get our stakeholder advisors to write that in. Then the next major amendment here on section 55, I've discussed the fact that we including any protected area that is in terms of section 9, and they have to broaden the scope. And those references are on page 6 of the document. And yeah, essentially, Chair, those are the amendments that we propose.
Okay, any comments from us?
The Minister of Conservation and Development Management Authority and the Cabinet Member responsible for mineral energy affairs may, in relation to commercial prospecting mining activities being conducted in areas which are declared as protected areas of conservation section. So that, anyway, what is that they're referring to there? It's not, it doesn't seem like something you specifically comment on. Yeah. Is it mining that's currently happening, or is it even the prospect?
Due to the cultural issue, I think this point that the owner of the property, you are not included. You are not stamp up of Michigan, you are not accredited.
Honourable Morgan, I assume that I'm not sure exactly what they are referring to in terms of the activity that they refer to there, and whether it actually refers to existing activity or whether it would be still to come, prospecting and so forth. In our comment share, we say that we think that any amendments to that particular section is going to require a much more comprehensive consultation process. In terms of section 48, I think it might just be useful for me to make reference to the committee relating to the provisions of that section. It deals with prospecting and mining activities in a protected area as it currently stands in the Act. And what we say in terms of subsection 1 is that despite other legislation, no person may conduct commercial prospecting or mining activities in a special nature reserve, national park, or nature reserve in a protected environment without the written permission of the minister and the cabinet member responsible for involving energy. Alternatively, in a protected area referred to in section 9, B, C, or D. Then there's also such a after the convention to this section, prescribe conditions under which those activities may continue in order to reduce or eliminate the impact of those activities on the environment or for the environmental protection of the area concerned. The last section talks about when the minister applies this section, you must take into account interests of local communities and the section 2 of the implementation.
The environment. On the other hand, we also need to ensure that
there is economic development in this country. So I think the ideal, the utopian situation would be where we can actually strike that balance in terms of allowing the economic development at the same time tempering it with you know, the protection of the environment that would be acceptable. In relation to the second comment regarding the schedule, just to comment that we're saying that it's the schedule that's going to be amended and it's going to need a proper review process. I don't think it's going to be required for us to amend the Act in that sense. It's a schedule through the Act that relates to specific offences. So from that process, we need to do a review currently of what's in that schedule and then consult as part of that review process in terms of what's going to be added. So there is a safeguard in the sense of what needs to be in and what doesn't need to be in.
Certainly,
other
comments?
I'm going to keep my name down and I'm going to keep my sister Alex's name down.